streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senate Republicans are zeroing in on Alaska's Lisa Murkowski on a marathon third day of debate on what President Trump calls his big, beautiful package of tax breaks and spending cuts. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Right now, she's been huddling with senior Senate leadership on the Republican side to try to work something out to gain her support for this bill.
Republicans can't afford to lose any more than three votes. President Trump's on his way to a place he calls Alligator Alcatraz, a migrant detention center in the Florida Everglades. White House spokeswoman Caroline Leavitt.
There's only one road leading in, and there is the only way out is a one-way flight. It is isolated and surrounded by dangerous wildlife and unforgiving terrain.
About 10,000 city workers have gone on strike in Philadelphia. CBS's Rosti Mate.
We're talking about folks like trash collectors, street repair crews, water treatment plant operators, and police dispatchers, just to name a few.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin is closing in on a new bipartisan state budget. Governor Tony Evers announced a tentative deal this morning. The agreement includes $330 million for child care, including money directly to providers as the pandemic-era Child Care Counts program winds down. Add $1.4 billion in new funding for K-12 schools. Despite a rumored cut, the Universities of Wisconsin, or UW, system would get $256 million under the deal, plus $840 million for campus-building projects. The governor called it the largest boost to the state university system in nearly 20 years. It also includes $1.3 billion in income tax cuts, mostly for the middle class. About 1.6 million would see an average cut of $180 per year, which is popular. A recent Marquette poll found 65% of voters want at least half of the state's $4 billion surplus used for tax cuts. The legislature's budget committee meets at 9 a.m. today. The state legislature is expected to vote on the package tomorrow. After that, Evers has 10 business days to act on the plan. A law intended to help students read only received part of its intended funding from state legislators. Jimmy Cuska has more.
Republican legislators on the state's Joint Finance Committee released only part of the funds allocated for 2023 Act 20, a law that mandates phonics-based instruction to address reading literacy in schools across Wisconsin. The law called for $50 million in funding, but only $9 million was released. The money will be used to hire over five dozen literacy coaches at schools with the lowest reading scores. The remaining $41 million is now returned to the state's general fund.
You can find more local news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. Thanks for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Morning Show. Got your host, James, here with a bitten tongue. Joined by Melissa.
Hello.
Bit my tongue in the middle of that opening there. That's going to bug me all day.
Ooh, that's the worst.
Good entertainment stuff coming up for you, everybody. We got entertainment news, and a little after that, we got songs for your 4th of July playlist. Get into some of that. And a little bit later, this crazy idea. A study found recycling could or should have lottery jackpots.
Oh.
Want to get into that one and plenty more, but we begin, of course, our entertainment section with Dolly Parton Knows, our day in Dolly. And Melissa sent this one over, and appreciate that, Mel. Always appreciate the stories you send over and everything. This one is a little different. Dolly tweeted this out, and it's in response to a Tennessee legislature considering a bill to erect a statue of her. And I really don't, I want to get this right, so I'm just going to read what she said here.
Okay.
I want to thank the Tennessee legislature for the consideration of a bill to erect a statue of me on Capitol grounds. I am honored and humbled by their intention, but I have to ask the leaders of the state legislature to remove the bill from any and all consideration. Given all that is going on in the world, I don't think putting me on a pedestal is appropriate at this time. I hope, though, that somewhere down the road, several years from now, or perhaps after I'm gone, if you still feel I deserve it, then I'm certain I will stand proud in our great state capital as a grateful Tennessean. In the meantime, I'll continue to try to do good work to make this great state proud. Dolly Parton. Now, this just makes us want to make more statues of her and everything, because she's such a class act and we love her so much. And this is a big part of the reason why we like her. But she's also right.
Yeah.
She's 100% right.
She's also right.
Mm-hmm. There's this thing in recent, I would say almost the last 30 years, but especially the last 15, 20 years in sports, where they just got to put a statue up of guy. And you've got like stadiums with like 5-6 statues out in front and everything of these athletes. And you know, it's a little bit of a throwback to, you know, Roman times and everything. And there's some interesting history there. But I don't know that there's any real harm in it. And I also don't know that there's any real need for it. And I don't think there's anybody. I don't know if there's anybody outside of like dictators that have ever been like, yeah, I want a statue of me. Like, there's being humbled, and then there's being incredibly embarrassed. And I think it becomes more about a statue. You would think it's about the person. You're going to put a statue of Dolly Parton in Tennessee. You're doing it for Dolly, right? Well, if she don't want it, then I don't think it's right to do it. Yeah. And I also think, you know, a statue is got to be one of the hardest things to be able to really pull off. Not only the construction of it and the making of it. If you want an example of that, look up Cristiano Ronaldo, the most popular athlete in the world, or second most popular to Messi, maybe. But look up his statue. It's a horror story. It's horrifying.
I think I've seen that one.
It's horrifying. It is. There's no other way to describe it. It is horrifying. That is one of the most handsome men on the planet, and that statue of him is just horrifying. So not only do we not do these right necessarily, but I'm not sure we're doing them right, period.
It just kind of seems weird to have a statue of somebody who's still alive.
Yeah, yeah. And a statue, like, these stem from a time where it was my way or the highway. It was, you know, I'm the Greek god. I'm the Greek leader. I'm the you know, Rome leader. I want a statue of me. Put it up now. This doesn't have the greatest history. And in recent decades, we've been getting rid of a lot of statues. Because they don't fit the whole community. They don't fit everybody. They stem from a time that isn't right. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we take down, first off, the leader of the Southern, you know, the Southern Party, the party that fought against the North in the Civil War.
In the Union.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want a statue because he didn't believe statues should go to people that finished second. His own words. Hmm. The idea of some of these things become very selfish and become very much about me or what I think is important in society. And this is on all sides of the aisle and all of that. And I feel like this is something we should almost retire. I don't know if we should be making statues. I get, you know, sports teams doing it and everything. It's a marketing and selling your team and all that. And that's a whole other story. I don't know that there's any person in human history that we need to make a statue for. And as a quick note, everybody, as far as like the idea of worrying about history being forgotten or anything, we got this thing called the internet. We got this thing called school. That does those things, covers those bases, and we have this thing called life that you can look into history and find out more, like I had to do with my history. Because there is no statues of my people. There is no, you know, a great day. There's no Jewish History Day or anything like that. There's no Italian History Day. I had to look it up myself, and I was that much more rewarded for doing it.
Well, and I also want to just say that I don't think these things need to be destroyed. but I think that they should be put in appropriate places. You know, I mean, do we want to have, do we have, and maybe we do, a museum of the, I can't even think of the name of the army. The
Confederate.
Confederate. Yeah. Do we have a Confederate history museum?
I think that
yeah. So absolutely appropriate to put the statues in there.
Yeah, sure. I'm with you on
this. Save them. But mm-hmm. do they need to be displayed where they are causing, I mean, the history that they symbolize caused a lot of pain and suffering and perpetuated a lot of the evils that happened in our early history in this country.
Being an American is understanding that you don't just live in this country alone. And you live with other people. You got to make it work with other people. We got more freedoms than most other countries will ever have.
And we also have some dark things in our history.
Yeah, and it's embracing all of this and owning all of this.
You can't erase it.
I don't know. I think that that's one of the things that, to me, to show to other Americans, to show to the world that we are not afraid of our past. We are not afraid of our history. We're not trying to erase anything. And I'm with you on the, I don't want to get rid of these statues. I think putting them in a proper place is what needs to be done. I don't want to get rid of them either, because I don't think that helps anything either. I don't think that, yeah, I've known a number of people who are very proud of their Southern history, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that just having some context and some understanding of that, too. The people that I'm talking about could not be more, you know, more happy about, you know, there not being slavery and some of those things. I'm speaking of one of the people in particular is African-American, so I suppose it goes with a little without saying. But he's very proud of being from Texas. He's very proud of the South and all those. He can be proud of the South without, you know, running around with a Confederate flag.
Right. And forgetting or trying to abolish the history that happened.
We go from one older loved legend in Dolly Parton to another in Dick Van Dyke. This is a story we cover just to kind of cover him a little bit. 90-year-old Dick Van Dyke had to skip his own charity event recently on this past Saturday due to an unexpected illness.
Oh, no.
His wife showed up in his place and told the crowd, quote, "When you're 99 and a half years old, you have good days and bad days. And unfortunately, today is not a good day for him. He's sick and can't be here." Dick attended live via live stream and vowed he would be there at the next event in person. Dick will turn 100 on December 13th, and we are really hoping to be able to celebrate that.
Wow.
The greatest pratfaller in history. Along with a million other things that Dick Van Dyke was very good at. But I as a little kid studying his falls and the Dick Van Dyke show, he's the best.
He's fabulous. Fabulous on screen.
Also still a good dancer. There was a video of him just this past year of him dancing that they were promoting and stuff. So he still got the moves.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you saw these, Melissa, growing up or even just in recent years or anything, but very pop. You know, when we talk about popular commercials, and by that I mean like commercials that have been around for many years, that we see them all the time, whether it's a repeat or it's just a reimagining of the same commercial. One of the ones I would think that is most known by people is the ASPCA commercials, the commercials for animals with the Sarah McLachlan song in the Arms of an Angel playing, and you see the abandoned animals. Well, Sarah McLachlan recently was talking about this, and she said she gets it that those are sad commercials. Even Sarah says she can't watch those ads because they're too painful, but she loves animals and had a friend on the ASPCA board, so she did this for them.
Yeah.
But the ad didn't show her as the happy and optimistic person that she is. Quote, it showed me as some sort of quiet, sad person with all my puppies and kittens. I'll never forget the director saying, "I just need a little more sad face from you." So it all worked out, though. Sarah says in a year, the campaign raised over $30 million.
Wow.
She just kind of, like a lot of things with her, she, you know, is very just self-deprecating and very honest about things. Mm-hmm. And she kind of gets that some people don't know her music that well, kind of just associate her with being sad and all this. But,
and a lot of her music is more, I would say ballad
related.
It's not upbeat.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big, big fan of hers. Oh, I would say there's at least 10 songs of hers off the top of my head I like. And yeah, they do tend to be a bit moodier or that. So I like that she kind of gets this and kind of owns it. In related news, Sarah is releasing a new album on September 19th called Better Broken. Looking forward to that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, that should be, I bet you that's going to be good, too. A great songwriter.
Wonderful musician.
She's an original voice, too. I really love the way she just, her dexterity with her voice is just really good to me. Really interesting. And we wrap up entertainment talking some local entertainment and West Side Story.
Oh, yeah.
The teen summer production being brought on by Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater will premiere July 10th, 11th, and 12th, and they'll have a show on the 13th, a matinee on the 13th.
Wow, that's coming up so fast.
They got so many great kids from our community being a part of this. They've been working really hard on the rehearsals. The way they've broken this up this year, they're doing different plays for different age ranges, which is perfect. So this one will be from kids 12 to 19. So you've got a really fun mix there of kids. And
they're doing this in like a month.
Yeah.
That's pulling off a full-length show in a month.
You know, and I've been a part of two major guerrilla theater productions, and that's what we used to call that back in the day of when you would get together and you put on a show within a couple weeks or a month. Did Romeo and Juliet in Grant Park in Illinois, and was a part of a couple others, and then did this unintentionally with It's a Wonderful Life, and the nerves and the racking of the brain,
pressure.
As an adult and around other adults, these kids walking into this and choosing this and wanting to do this with their summer, by the way, everybody. The most coveted thing to every child in the world, their summer vacation, their summer away from school. And how do they choose to spend a good month of it or so entertaining us?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. The least we could do is show up.
Yes. And it's a good thing kids are sponges because they got to memorize these lines super quick.
One of the, I think, the gifts of being young is almost not knowing any better.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you're so, just excited and all that. And they have such a great cast. So many wonderful people a part of this one. Do want to send a shout out to Suzanne Becker, their director. Nice work, Susan. Check this show out. Get your tickets and make plans to attend West Side Story. The wonderful teen musical production being put on starting July 10th, over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. You can get your tickets at wrctheater.org. Get on over there right now. Get those tickets. And support local theater. Everybody, buy local, support local. We appreciate our friends over at WRCT. Am I going there today or tomorrow? I'm going to be going over there talk with our stage creators. I'm looking forward to that. Sorry, I was just a little bit distracted, Melissa. Give me 30 seconds for Playmakers. Just a quick 30-second Playmakers, everybody.
Okay.
Last week, a guy who won a championship in basketball with the Indiana Pacers, Miles Turner, just agreed to a 4-year, $107 million deal with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Whoa.
That is a nice signing. That is a nice signing for the Milwaukee Bucks. That is a really good addition to go along with Giannis and that team. That is a team that is building. That's a team that's, you don't do that signing if you're going to trade your big superstar, everybody. So anybody thinking Giannis Antetokounmpo is going anywhere, I'm telling you, he ain't. I've been saying all over ESPN right now, you're going to have Stephen A. Smith and all these people talking about where Giannis is going to go. He ain't going nowhere. He may go to Greece for the summer. Maybe something like that. He ain't going to another team. I'll put my name on it. Telling you, he ain't going nowhere. We're going to take
it. Right.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for that. That was Playmakers,
you're
everybody.
Welcome.
Join us tomorrow for Playmakers from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Shout out to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. We'll take a time out, and when we come back, we're talking music. What kind of music should you be listening to this weekend for your 4th of July weekend? We got your playlist all set up. It's coming up on The Morning Show.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream. Explore their charming retail and gift area, and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog-friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go, always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Got the 4th of July right around the corner. Kind of cool when it falls on a Friday. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, makes for a nice 3-day weekend.
And I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like the only time I really get the chance to listen to music is on the weekend, so that just kind of lines right up. Mm-hmm. The 4th of July almost upon us, and if you don't already have a patriotic playlist, we're going to help you build one.
Yeah.
Get you some music to play on your playlist. Now, if you are my father, you will have a crazy eclectic, like some patriotic songs and then some songs that like, what were you, Dad? What? all over the place. But we look at this list and it's in no particular order. But we'll start at number 15, Kids in America from Kim Wilde. We're the kids in America.
I remember.
Yeah. At number 14, Surfin' USA from the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
That's especially with
Surfing
the
USA.
Passing of Brian Wilson and everything. That's a very noteworthy. Yeah, yeah. And number 13, Texas Hold'em from Beyonce. If you listen to the lyrics and you're really paying attention, that's a very American song.
Yeah, I've only heard it like once.
It's a fun one, too.
But it is fun.
It gets you
kind
moving.
It's a good beat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great list. There's a lot of great songs on here. If I got to get things moving, like the other day with our remote, and I got to play DJ, and I was playing music and everything, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to play a song that I think most people are going to like, the majority of people are going to like, and all that, and it's going to get people moving. American Girl from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the go-tos.
American Girl.
It's a go-to. It's a great one.
Yeah.
At number 11, American Pie from Don McLean. That one's a little more moodier, I would think. And you know, definitely going to have to put aside 10 minutes. That's a longer song.
It's a long song.
That was a bathroom song back in the classic rock days. If you needed to run to the bathroom or something, you put that or a Pink Floyd song on and you got time. You got time. America from Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
It's not playing in my head, but I probably have heard it.
Yeah, you might know it if you heard it. Born to Run from Bruce Springsteen. Odd to see that one on here and not Born in the 4th of July. No. Born in the USA. Born in the USA.
Born in the USA.
Yeah. But that's a good one. And one of Bruce's better songs, I think. So that's a good one. Mm-hmm. And it is a little bit about American life. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a lot about American life. So, okay, I see it. Yeah.
Okay.
America the Beautiful from Ray Charles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the better songs you'll ever hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good song. I love that song.
I like his voice.
There's something about Ray Charles' voice. It's not only universal.
Yeah, it's iconic. It's just nobody else sounds like him.
Well, and I, you know, one of the things that's really interesting to me, and I've been discovering this more and more doing the Sunrise Show over on our country station. Yeah, you know, he did a country album, and but he didn't sing any different. He just sang like Ray Charles, and he pulls it off. He sounds like a country singer. His voice is so versatile, yet he doesn't have to change it for the genre. He sang like Ray Charles sang, no matter what the genre was. The background music might be different. And it worked. It's just crazy, yeah. Mm-hmm. Born on the Bayou from Creedence Clearwater Revival. Oh, good song, good song. Any CCR will get me. Any CCR. Mm-hmm. At number six, We Didn't Start the Fire from Billy Joel. I don't know how much of a 4th of July. I guess, it's got a real good, really good history lesson for America. Mm-hmm. And it goes through a lot of that. At number five, R.O.C.K. in the USA from John Mellencamp.
R.O.C.K. in the USA.
I believe a fourth grader wrote that song. I believe. No, I'm kidding. At number four, Living in America from James Brown.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, that I can't imagine that song though without seeing Carl Weathers come out in a big hat and everything. They had it in the Rocky movie, so that's what I always think of. Firework from Katy Perry comes in at number three.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of pretty, but just says it in the title.
Yeah, at number two, My Shot from the cast of Hamilton. Wow. Again, this isn't in any particular order, but I was just even throwing it that high on the list and not kind of just throwing it in the mix. Mm-hmm. I guess so, yeah.
I haven't seen Hamilton or heard the soundtrack even. Okay. I've only heard little bits and pieces of it, but I mean, based on what that show is about,
I think
there's definitely some songs in that show that would be appropriate for Independence Day.
Yeah, and that's probably the most popular one from that song, so. Mm. And at number one, The Star-Spangled Banner, sang by Whitney Houston.
Oh, yes. Her version of that is just so beautiful.
For me, it's the Marvin Gaye version, but I will never argue with people choosing Whitney over Marvin Gaye. That's just a personal thing about me and his voice. And the way he sang it, the way he did it in a very unique style. Whereas Whitney Houston has probably the most iconic and maybe the most, if you're going to, I don't know if this is the right way to put it, the most perfect version of it. You know, the way that you originally hear the song and then hearing somebody who is not only has a legendary once in a lifetime voice, but singing it just the way that we heard it and we would sing it in school. You know, and that's how that I think the masterfulness of her doing that song is not just, I'm Whitney Houston. We all know how powerful my voice is, but I don't have to show it off. I don't have to do something different with this. Just my voice alone is going to make this song unique. And that could be the case for many singers.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of singers, though, take it that way or approach it that way.
Well, many try to make it their own.
Yeah.
And it's really, that's not the point of the song.
You worded it so much better than I could have, Melissa. I like that she didn't make it about her.
Yeah.
At least it feels like she didn't. You know, I can't get in her head or anything like that.
Right.
But I will never forget them doing that and her out there. And it was one of those ones, at least the first time I heard it and seeing her do it live and everything. It's just, you know, goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And
every time.
And I'm not even a big, like, I couldn't, like, I don't know what my favorite Whitney Houston song is. I don't really, you know, I wasn't a big fan of hers, but I certainly respected her voice. And when she went out there and did that, it was kind of like, all right. That's you know, and hearing that, man, it just gets you pumped up for America. Just USA, USA. Mm-hmm. There's something about it. Yeah, that's a great
for
version.
Sure. Make sure you include it in your playlist this weekend.
What is on your playlist, everybody? They didn't touch on any country music. There's got to be at least 80 country songs that would be perfect to play this weekend. I think that there's a lot of great jazz classics. I would encourage people. Usually around this time of year, I pull out Summertime from Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. As one of my top 10 favorite song of all time for me. I could not encourage people enough to listen to it if you've never heard it. There's some good ones. Anything you can think of, Melissa, putting you on the spot?
Well, some of our other actual, like, patriotic songs. Is it America the Beautiful? I think is what it's called. Some of those come to mind.
There's some good
honestly,
ones out there.
There's some hymns that I think of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That they're not, like, I don't know. They're not, like, they are patriotic, even more so than they are religious, almost.
Yeah,
in my mind. But those kinds of songs make me think of being patriotic, being, I don't know.
Yeah,
USA.
right. I think that everybody has their own playlist. That's the way music works, and to each their own. And I think that's one of the coolest things about music is what hits you and what gets you differently. I love the researching songs and the creation of them. I don't always look into, or I guess I don't seek out, what a lyricist's intentions were when they were writing a song. Sometimes I'm curious and I do look for it, but most of the time I just come across it because to me it's like a piece of art. What you get from it and the interpretations, it's a little like when people mess up lyrics. I have no issue with that. That's fine. That's, you know, you're enjoying the song, you're singing the song, and maybe those lyrics mean more to you and all that. It's art. And when you, whether for better or worse, once you create art and you release it to people, it stops being just yours.
Right. But there are so many, like the Battle Hymn of the Republic was written during the American Civil War.
Mm-hmm. That one gets me.
That's another one. And You're a Grand Old Flag. That one's just fun.
That's a fun one. That's a good one, too. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and let us know through the Civic Media app or call on up and let us know what songs are on your 4th of July playlist. Speaking
this
of...
This land is your land. This land is my land.
I remember singing that in school. Speaking of the 4th, we will not be here with our original live programming this Friday on the 4th of July. We are going to have a cool lineup for you, though. Starting at 9 a.m., the Sunshine Polka Variety Show featuring Tim Hubbell.
Yes.
More on Tim later. But he will have that for you at 9 to 10. And then at 10 to 11, you'll have Seth Faces the Music Independence Day Special.
Woohoo!
Seth's really excited about that. He's been talking our ears off behind the scenes about it. He's got a really good one lined up for you. Join us this Friday for that lineup. And, of course, all day long, we'll have great civic media programming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Rapids, we are gearing up for the Independence Day celebration. We're going to be talking more about the details of that a little bit later in the week. We'll get into that tomorrow and Thursday, cover a bunch of that. But do want to encourage people to go to wirapids.org, the city's website, to find out more. And
click on press releases. It's the top one.
Yeah. Get all caught up on that and be ready for the 4th this weekend. We'll have more conversation about it throughout the short week here. We'll be
out.
We're going to take a quick break, get to our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break. When we come back, a study found recycling should or could have lottery jackpots.
Oh, I can't wait to get into this one.
Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Fireworks cause thousands of injuries each year. Lisa Hale has more.
Safe, sane, sober. Three words to keep in mind when using fireworks at home. Most fire departments will recommend leaving the fireworks to the professionals, but with Independence Day celebrations, there are bound to be some people using fireworks at home. Green Bay Metro Fire Captain Nick Craig said fireworks cause thousands of children to end up in the emergency room every year.
The biggest thing is the amount of injuries. We're looking at over 10,000 injuries caused by consumer fireworks every year. And the ones that are legal for consumers to buy are actually causing the majority of those injuries.
Sparklers are prime examples of that.
They burn at over 1,200 degrees. That's super hot. Obviously, the end of the metal rod on the sparkler is red hot when it's done burning. Sparklers account for 29% of fireworks injuries for children under the age of 5.
For Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale.
If you plan on hitting the road tomorrow, you won't be alone. Stuart J. Waddles has the story.
AAA says the busiest travel time of the Independence Day weekend is tomorrow, technically noon to 9 tomorrow. The other busy times are Thursday afternoon and again Sunday afternoon. About 1.5 million people in the state will be hitting the road for the holiday, with most construction paused, but some projects will still be in progress. The DOT urges drivers to buckle up, slow down, and check the 511 website for real-time updates.
On Monday, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced that a sharp-tailed grouse hunt will be held for the first time since 2018. The hunting season will be held from October 18th to November 9th. Interested hunters can apply for entry into a limited drawing lottery until August 1st. More info can be found on the DNR's website. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bucks making moves in free agency. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to bring back three of their players, guards Gary Trent and Kevin Porter, and forward Taurean Prince. All three agreeing to two-year deals to stay in Milwaukee, with the second year being a player option. But the Bucks are losing their center, Brook Lopez. He'll sign a two-year contract with the LA Clippers. Lopez became a team leader during his 7 years with the Bucks.
Whatever happens, you know, whatever I do, just having a positive influence on the game. You know, that was my main thought. Having fun, but having a positive influence on the game, a positive impact.
Baseball, the Brewers taking on the Mets tonight in New York. The Crew coming off that 4-3 loss Sunday to the Rockies in 11 innings.
Extras are extras, but I mean, everyone in here was fired up to get a chance to walk it off, you know, so I don't think it's really hard necessarily to get back in the dugout and try to rally guys up because everyone's still chomping at the bit.
That's the Brewers' right fielder, Sal Frelick, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Apple Films F1 is definitely a hit, but will it be a financial success? Sounds like a strange question, but prognosticators are curious. The film opened number one with a $57 million domestic haul and has brought in $145 million worldwide. The Brad Pitt-Jerry Bruckheimer effort received excellent reviews, but still landed a little short of expectations. How to Train Your Dragon came in second place with just under $20 million and a less than 50% drop-off in week three, giving it a domestic total of just over $200 million. Disney Pixar's Elio, although a bit of a disappointment, still came in third place with just over $10 million at the gate. Megan 2.0 underperformed as well, earning much less than the first chapter of the film, coming in at about $10 million domestically. Rounding out the top five was 28 Years Later, which came in just under $10 million in its second week of release. Fasten your seatbelts, though, moviegoers. A dinosaur invasion is happening tomorrow. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Join the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors and Skyward as they partner to recognize an unsung hero in our local school district. This year's unsung hero is Custodian Doug from Lincoln High School. The Raptors will be giving away Custodian Roscoe bobbleheads to the first 750 guests through the gates. All of this will take place just prior to the second game of the doubleheader on Wednesday, July 9th, game time 6:35 p.m. Take yourself out to the ballgame at historic Winterfield in Wisconsin Rapids for Raptors baseball and Skyward Technologies, and help us to celebrate Custodian Doug.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms, and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday. Melissa and James hanging out with you. A new study at the University of British Columbia found a simple trick might encourage people to recycle more. A bunch of states pay you to turn in bottles and cans, anywhere from 2 cents to 15 cents, depending on the type of container. But even 15 cents isn't much, so the study looked at what would happen if places skipped the normal payouts and used a lottery system.
Hmm.
Instead of 10 cents each bottle, gave people a 1 in 10,000 chance of winning $1,000.
Whoa.
So the same amount of money per bottle, but only one person gets it.
Huh.
And the crazy part is, it worked really well. People in the study recycled 47% more bottles when there was a big jackpot on the line.
Wow.
I would like to throw out there that there is a big jackpot on the line. Our planet!
Well, yes.
Sorry. The lead author of the study explained it like this. Quote, "The thrill of possibly winning a big prize is more motivating than a small guaranteed reward. It's the same reason people buy lottery tickets, that that tiny chance of a big win is exciting." And if you're skeptical, it would actually work in the rest of the if it would work in the rest of the real world. It turns out it already is working. Norway has a lottery-based recycling system where you can win prizes worth between $1 and $100,000.
Whoa.
And they actually blend both systems. When you turn in the bottle, you have a choice of getting a few cents for it or a chance at the big money. It's become so popular that Norway's recycling rate is close to 100%.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yes, it is. It is incredible. It's awesome. It right on to Norway. And if this works, all more power to it.
Mm-hmm.
I find it really sad in some ways that it took this. I'm just sorry. I got to get that out there. I can't help myself. I find it sad that it took money and to motivate people to recycle. But we're recycling, and that's what counts. That's what matters. And however you're motivated in your own personal life, that's teach their own. That's the part to take away from this.
Mm-hmm. And I do, you know, Norway is a much smaller country than the United States, so there we have to take that into account as well.
Yeah.
But I do think that here in the United States, we could definitely be doing a much better job at recycling, and it has to come from the corporations.
Yeah.
It can't just be on the people, because that's where the burden is falling right now. I mean, we have to do our part too, obviously, but the corporations also have to be doing their part, and they're not.
Since I was a little kid, I genuinely can't remember the last time I saw somebody not recycling. When I think of that in my head, I'm thinking of people that you would not expect to be your type of recycler, whatever you're imagining in your head. I've seen every type of person recycling. I've seen different people from different walks of life all around this country. I don't think the problem is people. No. To your point, Melissa, it's corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And so what motivation does a corporation have for this? None.
Right.
Like, they don't care. They're not about this or anything. If anything, this is distracting from the actual problem.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets people recycling, let's bring it to the states. Let's start doing this. Every state has a state lottery nowadays. Go ahead and incorporate it with that.
And make it easy to recycle.
Yeah.
And then also, what is happening to the recycled materials after you put them in your recycle bin? It's different everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's different everywhere. And we need to if we streamlined this across the, you know, at least across each state, we would make strides towards having better recycling rates and less garbage.
Yeah, if this increased the recycling in a state by 5%, it's worth it. You know, I mean, no matter what the percentage, it's worth it. But all of this is good, but it's busy work if we're not actually taking care of the real problem, which is these big corporations that have no. All they do is pay a fine. That's
right.
It. They don't care. They'll pay fines all up and down, and they don't care. Like, it doesn't matter to them.
It's nothing to them. where it's everything to us.
Where and the while they don't care about that, they do care about their bottom line. And the only way to make change is to affect their bottom line. Mm-hmm. You can write your representative. I encourage you to do that. You can go ahead and have protests. I encourage that. I have no problem with peaceful protesting and all of these things. But at the end of the day, you really want to make a revolution happen. Start in your own home. And the greatest revolutions, no great revolution started with somebody standing on top of their house and saying, "I'm starting a revolution." They just did it. They just started. No matter what we're talking in human history, it all starts with one person or a couple people and them just doing it. Mm-hmm. Not having to get on social media and create some big post about it, or waiting for the TV news station to show up or something like that. They just did it. You want these corporations to listen? Stop buying their products, and they're gonna hey, why'd you guys stop buying my products? Because you don't care about our planet. Because you don't care about consumers. Like, this isn't a long conversation. We can get this done quick. Once we start doing that, that's when you'll see change. If that doesn't happen, don't expect any change. What incentive do? This is an issue with a lot of things in life right now. Accountability. Where's the account? If people are not held accountable, when are they ever going to act right? They're why would they ever change? If you tell your kid, hey, you got to clean your room. Hey, you got to clean your room. Hey, you got to clean your room. But that's it. Well, what do you think is going to happen?
Right. You got to have the follow through.
You got to follow through on this stuff. And we as a society have to follow through on these things and see, put our money where our mouth is. Mm-hmm. Or not put our money where our mouth is, because we don't want to spend the money. I'll figure it out, all right?
Put our money elsewhere.
I haven't figured out the
sign. Under the mattress,
yet.
James. Under the
there
mattress.
There we go. Under the mattress. Perfect.
we solved all the problems.
I ask you this, Melissa, just as much as I ask our wonderful audience. Do you guys think this would work in the states? Do you think it would work on a state-by-state basis? Maybe not all 50 in the union, but some would. I really am coming my brain is in overload on this one, and I don't know. I don't have a real answer. I don't know if it would work or if it wouldn't. I kind of lean towards, I feel like it would work in some states, but not others, maybe.
I think if it was a statewide thing where it didn't matter where in the state you lived, it was the same procedure to recycle. Because right now, every municipality has different rules and different laws. And there are, some are single stream. Some you have to separate. Some you don't. In some places, and I'm sorry, but this is true, the recycling just gets dumped into the landfill because they don't have the facilities to process it. Mm-hmm. I think if we did it on a statewide basis, each state could set up their own way of doing it, we would have much better recycling rates. And if there was a lottery attached to it, then heck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you drop off a bag of aluminum cans and you could walk out of there with $1,000.
That's
who wouldn't try to do that?
Well, and that's probably the only way that I would ever play lottery.
Yeah.
And just talking about it, just thinking about doing exactly what you were just saying there and everything, there was a little excitement in me. I'll admit to the audience. I'm not proud of that, but I was there was a little bit, it's a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I'm not their audience. I'm recycling anyway. Right. They're trying to get people who aren't recycling already or don't do it on a normal basis. And in that regard, I have to agree with you. I want to agree with you on that. I think that and here's another part of this. We give this a shot and try. What's the side effect?
Right.
Where are the side effects in life? I look at that oftentimes when making decisions in life. Okay, what's the up plus the minus and all that? And to me, I don't see a lot of negatives to this, if any.
And the best part about it is, we got these big jackpots in the state lottery right now, and they're huge, right? Some of these are just ginormous. Why not break that down and parcel it out more? More winners, smaller jackpot. Who wouldn't want to win $1,000?
Well, and I feel like even...
How much would that help any family in the state that isn't in the top... top two earning brackets,
right? Which is the majority of the state,
Yeah.
I do, you know, the way my brain works, I could see, you know, well, what about people that will try to game the system or take advantage of this? You mean they're recycling more? okay, all right. You go ahead there and try to game the system there and recycle more.
Game the system, bring more cans.
Shucks, you got us. Darn it, you found a loophole. Nice work. It seems like a win-win kind of situation. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I'm going to be following along with it. You can find the complete article at psy.org, phys.org, if you'd like to learn more or read more about it. Take a time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show, morning show at WFHR.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
We could see a little fog hanging around for a while this morning. Overall, though, sunny today and pleasant. We'll get to 81 for a high, wind northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, we'll drop to around 61 for a low. Tomorrow, sunny with a slight chance of late-day thunderstorms and a high right around 83. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 75.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you had a great time today. We had a lot of fun. It was a good show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We really do appreciate the best listeners radio out there joining us. Not only a lot of fun, but a lot of great things coming up for you that we're looking forward to getting into. We'll dive into our schedule here a little bit and some great events going on in our community. I did want to let everybody know that our good friends over at McMillan Memorial Library got some great summer concerts going on through the month of July and into August.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. July 10th, they got a concert featuring Central Wisconsin songwriter genius L.J. Booth and the amazing Chris Kosh. Kosh? Or Kakesh?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you say it. But
yeah, he's good, though, I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, on July 24th, Ron McCabe will present a mix of original and traditional songs. Good old Ron. Ron's joined us many times on the air over here over the years.
Nice.
And good to see Ron still doing his thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
And the series will conclude with national star John Gorka on August 28th.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. There's a lot of other great things going on over in McMillan. We could spend 5 hours and not cover everything that is happening at that beautiful library. Encourage you to find out more. Head on over to McMillan. All three free concerts will be on Thursdays at 7 o'clock at McMillan Library at 490 East Grand Avenue, right here in Rapids.
Yeah.
Check that out, everybody. Also, wanted to encourage you to check out some of the other things going on in our area. Now, tomorrow and Thursday's show, we will be talking more about the Independence Day celebration that we have here in Rapids. We'll get into the details of that more. As a programming note, we will not be here on Friday for the 4th of July, but we will have some great programming for you at 9 a.m. with the Sunshine Polka Variety Show and at 10 a.m. with Seth Faces the Music.
Awesome. So much music. We're going to start your playlist right.
Right? Yeah, we're going to have some good stuff for you. Good things going on today. We got another edition of the Rapids Report that'll be available for you at WFHR.com. Check out after sometime after noon. This afternoon, we'll have it lined up there for you. Today, we're welcoming in our friends, family really, Family Natural Foods, Stephen and Katrina Hender.
Yeah, great.
That'll be fun. And a little later today, Rafters Baseball, 6:20, Rafters at Fond du Lac for that one. A long day yesterday for the Rafters. They had to do a rain delay from Sunday's game, and then the rain delay got rained out a little bit.
Oh, no.
But they finally got both games in and swept. Double win, back-to-back wins against the first-place Madison Mallards for our Rafters.
Oh, I'm so glad you told me this, because I'm going to rub that into Parker tomorrow morning on Pat's show.
Nice work by the boys. Nice work. Yeah. Nice work. Going to keep that winning streak going tonight, 6:20, right here at WFHR. Be sure to check that out, everybody.
Parker's a Mallard fan.
Yeah. Also, want to shout out our Wisconsin Rapid City Band. For over 160 years, bands have been providing musical entertainment for the Wisconsin Rapids area. The City Band is going to be at it this Friday. They'll be at the Centralia Center, 7 o'clock, their 4th of July show.
Awesome.
And then next Tuesday, July 8th, they'll be back at it at my old stomping grounds, Robinson Park, 7:30 concert there. And all every Tuesday throughout the summer, right into August.
That's
be sure to check it out.
Park.
I love that park. Very lovely. Looking at our National Day of Calendar, today is National Zoo Day. So we want to remind you that the Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo is open. Tuesday through Sunday, 10 to 7. Head on over there and check out some of the great things like at Helen's house or some of the other great stuff that they have over there. Say hi to the lemurs for me.
Yeah.
We cannot encourage you to check that out enough, everybody. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I mentioned this earlier. One more shout out to the Adams County Fire District street dance that is going on this weekend.
Ooh.
It'll be happening from noon to 10 p.m. It'll be not only a great one at 399 East Ann Street in Adams, Wisconsin. Casey Kilgore and the Swing Crew are going to be there. They're going to have kids games, face painting, raffles, bake sale, food and beverages, and Tim the Polka Guy going to be spinning.
Our own Tim.
Yeah, that's awesome. Have a great time, Tim. Check that out. Tim's a great DJ, everybody. If you haven't caught, especially if you haven't caught the Sunshine Polka Show before, but especially if you've caught that show, you know what I'm talking about. He's great.
Nobody knows polka like Tim.
Yeah. And just a fun like guy with music, too. He's going to have a great time with that. Be sure to check that event out, everybody. Some good stories of the day that I wanted to get to. One of them in particular, I encourage you to go to goodnewsnetwork.org. Architecture firm is having fun building micro libraries across Java with playful designs that other respites from the heat, giving people a break from the heat. Envisioned as an excellent way to increase literacy, they attract children with the designs who they get to enjoy a reading environment that inspires imagination and creativity. They were recently profiled in the Guardian Photo Essay. So what this library is, it's your normal library, but it's a little more open, a little more spread out, and they have like netting, like you would like
you climb in.
Yeah, and you can get up there and read, and just grab a book and read.
Oh,
and
cool! So it's like reading in the trees.
Yes, yeah. There's swings you can read on as well.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful. It's really cool. The partnership hopes to continue on its way for the next 20 years until 100 of these micro libraries have been built around the whole world.
Oh, cool. Love it.
It's a really fun idea, and the kids are just jacked about it. Shout out to this Dutch-German firm, Charu, who uses a combination of local materials and passive cooling principles used for centuries among islands, the island's kingdom, to shave off several degrees from the tropical air. And so they're kind of incorporating some of that to these libraries.
That's cool.
Getting a lot more kids reading.
Yeah, where is that? I got to look this up.
It's in Indonesia.
Yep, but the article, where'd you find it?
Oh, goodnewsnetwork.org. I will share it with you, and I will, maybe I should put it on the website, yeah.
Yeah, I think you should.
That's a good
share
one.
Share it on our socials. That sounds awesome. I love libraries.
Yeah, it's a really cool story. Wait till you see these pictures.
I can't wait.
A little girl on a Disney cruise ship fell overboard on Sunday, and it could have been tragic, but her dad immediately jumped in after her. It happened while they were returning to Fort Lauderdale from the Bahamas. He apparently had to tread water for 20 minutes while holding onto her before a lifeboat showed up. Oh, a witness said she fell from the fourth deck. I'm so happy everybody's okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Warren Buffett just gave away another big chunk of his fortune, $6 billion worth of Berkshire Hathaway stock. It went to the Gates Foundation and four other charities. He's pledging to give 99% of his money away. It's the largest donations he's made since he started giving money away almost 20 years ago.
Okay. Now, can the other billionaires line up behind him?
Yeah. Warren Buffett puts every billionaire on the planet to shame. Every one of them. And I mean shame. Once again, come back to that word, everybody.
Yeah. Because we shouldn't have billionaires.
No. There's no purpose for it. And I would be embarrassed if I was.
Yeah.
Also would have a pet penguin. But no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. A guy in Virginia got his wedding band back at 15 years after losing it at a Christmas tree farm.
Whoa.
He got a tree in 2010 and didn't realize the ring had gone late until later. He went back with a metal detector a few times but couldn't find it. The owners of the farm came across it last month. They tracked down a note from his info that someone jotted down 15 years ago just in case they found it, and boom, he got it back.
Wow, that's so cool.
And now he can finally stop sleeping on the couch. That's awesome.
He's out of the doghouse.
Great show, Melissa.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Getting close, it seems, to a final vote on President Trump's budget bill in the U.S. Senate. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Vice President J.D. Vance has been here all morning, ready and willing to break a tie vote if necessary.
President Trump is in Florida to get a look at the new migrant detention center that's been dubbed Alligator Alcatraz.
We'll keep people where they're supposed to be. This is a very important thing.
CBS's Aaron Navarro.
State officials say, at least for this first couple of days, it'll be capacity of about 3,000 beds. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says once the full facility is completed, it'll be about 5,000 beds.
Brian Koberger, the man charged with killing four Idaho college students in 2022, strikes a plea deal. Our legal contributor, Caroline Polisi.
They're getting a conviction right away. They're getting the absolute guarantee of life behind bars without the possibility of parole.
CBS News Brief.